What if you discovered that one of humanity's greatest achievements, putting a man on the moon, was accomplished by a team whose average age was just 26? In 1961, America could barely keep an astronaut airborne for 15 minutes. 8 years later, Neil Armstrong was stepping onto the lunar surface. The real shock? This wasn't the work of seasoned scientists or brilliant prodigies. It was young people from modest backgrounds, many first-generation college students, who made the impossible routine. Their secret wasn't genius. It was a specific psychological toolkit anyone can master. October 1957. Sputnik launches while President Eisenhower golfs. 5 days later, he downplays the threat. America's response? The Vanguard rocket explodes on the launch pad. Headlines mock it as Kaputnik. John F. Kennedy inherits this humiliation and chooses the boldest response: land on the moon before 1970. At Rice University, he declares America will go not because it is easy, but because it is hard. 15-year-old Terry O'Rourke skips school to attend, later becoming an environmental lawyer. Basketball player Jerry Woodfill abandons sports for engineering, designing lunar mission safety systems. What made this work wasn't just national pride. It was passion so intense that grueling work felt like play. Senior engineer Bill Tindall Jr. insisted it was just so much fun. Kennedy's moon goal exemplifies the perfect stretch goal: frightening yet energizing, with roughly 50 to 70% success odds. Aim too safe and you stagnate. Aim impossibly high and you paralyze yourself. Late 1968. With the lunar module behind schedule, NASA pivots: send Apollo 8 around the moon instead of just Earth orbit. Flight director Glenn Lunny captures the mindset: if you're going to go to the moon, sooner or later, you've got to go to the moon. Success odds? 50-50. Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders accept anyway. Their most dangerous maneuver happens behind the moon, out of contact, firing engines to enter orbit. Too short means slingshotting back. Too long means crashing. It works. They become the first humans to see the moon's far side and capture the iconic Earthrise photograph. Psychologists find people respond to challenges with flight or fight. Flight mentality runs from fears, valuing comfort over change, leading to stagnation. Fight mentality faces fears to create better futures, fostering growth. As Kennedy noted, the risks of action are far less than the long-range risks of comfortable inaction. NASA initially planned to send one massive spacecraft straight to the moon, a huge Cadillac, as Wernher von Braun described it. The problem? It required impossibly large amounts of fuel. John Howbolts, a relatively unknown engineer, proposed something radical: leave most of the spacecraft orbiting while the small lander ferried astronauts down and back, a modest Chevrolet approach. NASA administrators dismissed him repeatedly. In desperation, Howbolt broke protocol and wrote directly to leadership. After months of resistance, even von Braun switched sides. When Armstrong stepped onto the moon, von Braun turned to Howbolt and admitted, "John, it worked beautifully." We fall dangerously in love with our first ideas. Psychologists call this the Einstein effect. Children are naturally creative, but around age 9 or 10, this ability plummets as schools demand single correct answers instead of encouraging exploration. Force yourself to generate multiple solutions before committing. As philosopher Emile Chartier warned, nothing is more dangerous than an idea when it is the only one you have. Counterintuitively, constraints boost creativity. Dr. Seuss wrote The Cat in the Hat using just 250 words. It sold a million copies. He followed with Green Eggs and Ham using only 50 words. It sold over 8 million. Take breaks between intense work sessions. Your brain unconsciously processes problems during downtime, especially during walks, which increase creative output by 60%. While astronauts captured public imagination, a quieter revolution happened in mission control. Chris Kraft deliberately recruited young people from humble backgrounds: farm boys, first-generation college graduates, kids from tough neighborhoods. Jerry Bostick, a Mississippi farm boy, became head of flight dynamics at 29. These youngsters succeeded precisely because we didn't know that it couldn't be done. Your beliefs about your capabilities become self-fulfilling prophecies. Psychologist Albert Bandura called this self-efficacy. People with low self-efficacy avoid challenges or quit when obstacles arise. Those with high self-efficacy persist and discover innovative solutions. NASA's young controllers thought they were damned invincible, and that confidence proved contagious. The secret? Small wins. Harvard researcher Teresa Amabile found that breaking overwhelming goals into manageable steps consistently predicts success. Each accomplished mini-stage catalyzes future success. The progress principle improves performance 90% of the time. Your inner voice matters enormously. Try this. Imagine what you'd say to a best friend expressing the same doubts you harbor. You'd challenge their negative assessments and boost their confidence. Talk to yourself with that same compassion. Recall times when you succeeded against the odds and replay these successes mentally like a highlight reel. The Apollo 1 fire killed 3 astronauts. Investigators found bare wires, flammable materials, pure oxygen, and a faulty hatch. NASA spent 18 months redesigning everything, but the cultural shift mattered most. Gene Kranz declared mission control would be tough and competent, taking full responsibility and maintaining the highest standards. The culture transformed from covering mistakes to openly embracing errors, playing with your cards face up. Psychologist Carol Dweck's research reveals people with fixed mindsets see intelligence as unchangeable, avoiding challenges. Those with growth mindsets believe they can improve through effort. Fixed mindset leaders hire new talent. Growth mindset leaders develop existing staff. NASA controllers held regular debriefings at a beer garden to discuss mistakes. Some organizations now hold failure parties where employees share lessons, followed by applause. Dale Carnegie kept a file of his mistakes. The language matters. Adding yet transforms limitations into opportunities. This accountability permeated mission control. Gunter Wendt ruled the Saturn V White Room with an iron fist. Before John Glenn's flight, Wendt told Annie Glenn he couldn't guarantee John's return, but when the spacecraft leaves, it's in the best possible condition. Ed Fendel reflected that Apollo's success came from attitude, not exceptional intelligence. Everyone had a strong can-do attitude. Controllers worked late and weekends. Chris Kraft hired based on attitude over grades. Psychologist Lewis Terman found conscientiousness consistently outperformed intelligence as a predictor of life outcomes. Conscientious people achieve better grades, avoid crime, earn higher salaries, and enjoy happier relationships. Conscientiousness means punctuality, meeting deadlines, hard work, and strong integrity. Nearly 95% of people procrastinate, but conscientious individuals overcome this. First, visualize long-term consequences. Second, take tasks one brick at a time. Third, create deadlines that don't cross week, month, or year boundaries. People procrastinate more across these thresholds. Jerry Woodfill joined NASA after Kennedy's speech and helped design the lunar module's safety systems. When he realized the radar's heat alarm might falsely trigger after landing, potentially cutting short the moonwalk, his team fixed this crucial issue. Even the White House prepared contingencies, with Nixon holding a speech ready if Armstrong and Aldrin became stranded. These brave men will stay on the moon to rest in peace. Mission Control's simulation teams relentlessly tested controllers with unexpected problems, fuel leaks, power failures, sometimes multiple simulations daily. When the Eagle's computer signaled a 1202 alarm during descent, Jack Garman's preparation proved vital. Having created a crib sheet of computer alarms after a simulation mishap, he immediately recognized the warning wasn't critical, allowing 26-year-old Steve Bales to confidently greenlight the landing. Benjamin Franklin's wisdom, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail, introduces defensive pessimism, a positive approach to negative thinking. Unlike regular pessimists who avoid anxiety-inducing situations, defensive pessimists identify potential problems and develop solutions. Psychologist Julie Norum discovered roughly a third of pessimists use this constructive strategy. For important presentations, draw a vertical line down paper, label columns, problem, and solution, then develop specific fixes for each issue. Psychologist Gary Klein's pre-mortem technique takes this further. Imagine your venture has spectacularly failed, then ask why. Identify every possible problem, select the top 10 showstoppers, and develop solutions. Tim Ferriss suggests examining best and worst case scenarios, rating their likelihood, planning preventative measures, and crucially, examining the often overlooked costs of inaction. July 21, 1969. Armstrong steps onto the lunar surface with his famous words. Aldrin joins him 20 minutes later. After just over 2 hours, they return to the lunar module and discover a critical problem. One of them accidentally broke the switch needed to arm the ascent engine. Without it, they can't leave the moon. Buzz Aldrin demonstrated crucial improvisational thinking. Reluctant to use his finger or anything metal in the electrical circuit, he remembered the felt-tip marker in his shoulder pocket. The thin, tapered end fit perfectly, allowing him to activate the breaker and fire up the ascent engine. Adaptability drives success. Research shows psychologically flexible employees feel more in control, experience better mental health, demonstrate higher productivity, and transition between careers more easily. Employers increasingly value it as the most desirable attribute for organizational success. Practice mental yoga to develop cognitive adaptability. Dutch psychologist Simone Ritter found that volunteers who prepared chocolate chip sandwiches unconventionally scored higher on flexible thinking tests. Try habit-busting activities, change routines, explore new foods or music, visit unfamiliar places, get playful, write spontaneous poems, moonwalk across rooms, build sofa forts. Creative entrepreneurs benefit from diverse social networks, as varied perspectives enhance flexible thinking. Here's a challenge. Fix a lit candle to a wall without wax stripping, using only a candle, matches, and a small box of drawing pins. Most try pinning the candle directly or using melted wax. The elegant solution, empty the box, pin it to the wall as a platform, eludes 60% of people. We habitually see containers as holding objects rather than as useful objects themselves. Break mental blocks by adding randomness. Write 6 possible scenarios for any decision, number them, roll a die, and commit to following the result. America reached the moon just 7 years after Kennedy's speech. 8 psychological principles drove mission control's success: passion, innovation, self-belief, learning from failure, conscientiousness, courage, positive pessimism, and flexibility. Despite their central role in humanity's greatest achievement, mission controllers displayed remarkable humility, consistently choosing we over I. Research shows humble people tend to be more secure, altruistic, and successful. While Apollo produced countless technological innovations, memory foam, integrated circuits, its psychological impact may be even more profound. The iconic Earthrise photograph shifted humanity's perspective, fueling environmental awareness and demonstrating our planet's fragility. The controller story rewrites our understanding of success. These weren't superhuman geniuses. They were ordinary people from modest backgrounds who achieved the impossible through teamwork and determination. As Doug Ward reflected, "Looking back, I guess the most remarkable thing about the whole team was how unremarkable we all were." Extraordinary achievement doesn't require extraordinary people, just ordinary individuals with the right psychological tools working toward a common goal. The moon isn't just out there in space. It's that impossible dream you've been postponing, that business you're afraid to start, that relationship you're too scared to pursue. What's your moon? And when are you finally going to stop planning and start flying?